Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do this.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences,
like
communiques,
mule.
Dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message
without
for the kids
view.
Watching at home?
What we need right
are
now
the carrots.
Is a clear message to the people
or
of this country.
Or even a cup of cool water.
1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Don't worry.
Now here's your host, Todd, freakishly
okay.
Tall Friel.
The mail is here.
Ooh,
this is Wretched Radio. Just being pressed down, squeezed under, shaken over. I never memorized that Bible verse because it got tortured to pieces as a prosperity verse. Just finished. I think we did. Was that about 40 minutes? Those two YouTube videos that we just recorded right before we began
Yes.
here on Wretched Radio.
Uh-huh.
That's right. I'm complaining because I've had to talk a lot today. Oh, you poor suffering saint, you. You're just being worked so hard. I'll stop my whining, please. No, I'll make a contingent. I'll stop my whining if you send wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org. Jimmy?
Yes?
Do you ever complain about work?
Do I complain?
In any way, shape, or form? It's okay. I won't be offended much.
So
you and I have no right to complain.
No, we don't, but I do complain, but it's usually about you.
Wow. That was a little bit more transparent than I certainly wanted on air. We don't have to lift heavy things. We don't do construction. Those are the dudes, man. They're sweating and they're working. And isn't it sad, really? In our society, in Western civilization, that the lighter labor person is esteemed as being more successful than the dude who breaks his back every day. I just don't think that ought to. And it doesn't mean that you should put the laborer above the intellectual. I just don't think there should be classes at all. You work hard in whatever capacity for the glory of God. I say. Salute. So if you send stuff to idea@wretched.org, I'll quit my whining because I shouldn't be anyway. And you can also text 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. It's a statement. He starts with a statement. Todd, I was saved in high school, but dealt with pornography for over a decade. Unfortunately, brought it into my marriage. It came to light and I'm finally getting help from my local church. In the last couple of months, I've fallen in love with God's word. I've been clean for 2.5 months now. I have seen Jesus break the chains of pornography,
Amen.
Bring restoration to my marriage,
Yay.
And take me deeper into my fellowship with him.
Awesome.
To the thousands of men who relate to my story, Jesus and only Jesus can break those chains.
Amen.
Yeah.
You can read stuff like that all day, every day, and yeah. I'd be just fine. I'll just sit here and silently whine and let you share great stuff. The Lord is working. He can give you the strength. He has all of the power that you need. But we need to remember what should be our primary motivation for overcoming this sin. And that should be a genuine desire to be pleasing to the Lord, motivated by a love for the Lord, because we have been informed and instructed about his love for us. In other words, we need higher, greater affections. Porn is a low affection. We need a greater affection to choose it every time instead of diving into a cesspool of sin. So, dude, very, very glad. That is an encouragement. And as long as we're encouraging, want to let you know, coming up in about a week or two, we're going to be announcing a campus initiative. We want to reach young men on university campuses with the gospel and with hope, because I can't say that I've seen a Lifeway poll on this, but I would be willing, not that I'd gamble, but I'm just metaphorically, I'd be willing to bet that 100% of unregenerated young men are watching porn. 100%. I don't know what capacity. Now, what is the percentage of young Christian men that are battling with it? Well, I don't know that it's not 100%. I know that. But I know the percentage is far too high. This is such an ill in our day. And so we're going to invade the campuses. How do we do that? We're going to send you free cards. They're really nice. They're like thick paper. And it has a QR code. It's got a good message about porn and being set free and becoming the man that you know you currently aren't but want to be. And it'll have a QR code to a book that I wrote called Play the Man, which is all about the new affections that we need in order to have victory over pornography. And it's got, don't you worry, it's got the law, it's got the gospel, and it has genuine biblical help for having and gaining victory over the sin of pornography. So you go to the campus, you order your cards for free. We send you the cards. Then you just go to the campus and go, hey, dude, get one of these. Hey, dude, this is for you. Hey, young man, you might need this. And just hand them out. And you will be shocked at how many hundreds you can give away in no time whatsoever. But not yet. We'll be making that announcement in a couple of weeks because we know that this sin is a scourge. We know the number of young men that are in bondage and we know the solution. So we'll give you the stuff if you'll put it to work and go to the university campus. And as long as we're speaking about evangelism, by the way, you might find yourself engaging in a lot of conversations. Because if the dude stops, some do. Some will just take it and grab it, put it in their backpack, whatever. But some are going to look at it and go, oh, yeah, man, I deal with this issue. They are so transparent. This generation is so willing to admit, yeah, I've got struggles with this. You might have some really wonderful conversations, which I just happened to watch last night, I think. A Ray Comfort video popped up in my feed. Imagine that. And he was witnessing to a dude, I wish I could remember his name. He posted it within the last 7 days or so. This guy, he said to him, yeah, you know, I struggle. I got some demons, alcohol and all of that. But he's had some sort of church experience. Ray shares the law and the gospel. It's a beautiful thing to behold. And Jimmy, you'll love this. So the guy says that he needs Jesus. He needs to have his sins forgiven. Ray says, I'm going to pray. And then if you want to pray, you can. So Ray prays for him, and then the guy actually prayed.
Oh, wow.
I got to tell you, it honestly felt like I'm like going behind the veil of the Holy of Holies. I'm not supposed to be here. This just seemed like too intimate between a man and his God. But nevertheless, he prayed. You know, he said some stuff where it's like, yeah, okay, good. Yeah, please forgive my sins. And I'm just messed up. And it was like, whoa, really cool. And then Ray does a 17-minute commercial. And then it comes back to the young man who says, this is so great. And he was so happy. He just had a different disposition. He said, now I can get baptized. Get ready for this, Jimmy, because down the beach, they're having a mass baptism. Oh. So he's one of the dudes who went to that and got himself put into a horse trough and baptized. Let's pray that the man was genuinely converted. It was a beautiful thing, and it'll be a beautiful thing for you. If you go to a university campus, be looking for the Play the Man campaign coming up in 2 weeks. In the meantime, send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
This is from a stay-at-home mother. She says she is the mom of three, ages 6, 5, and 2, and her husband and her are going through a season. She says that he recently opened up and said he does not love me.
Ouch.
Or feel connected with me, and he's not sure he ever did.
Can we stop right there for a second? Because I know there's a lot more to come, because this is a big mess. Sir, if you're feeling that way, it's not her. It's your job to work on your heart. It is your job to cultivate those emotions. And you might need some help with that. That's what the men of the church are for, to walk alongside you and to help that and model and disciple that for you. But don't let that happen to you, and don't blame her. I've heard this too many times. Well, we've just drifted apart. No, you've abandoned your responsibility to love and to cherish your wife. Don't let that happen to you. I'm sorry. Continue.
He comes home after work to see the kids, but he doesn't sleep at home, stating he needs to figure things out. I and counselors at our church think he is being spiritually attacked and think he is going through true conviction. He's very intellectual about the Bible, but he stated that he doesn't feel anything in his heart. My question is, how do I respond with him leaving in a biblical way? And is it wrong for me to be angry with him?
Okay. What I was going to say, like my response wasn't really direct answer to her quandary. But what I was, as you're reading this, I was going to say, well, she needs to be getting her elders involved so that they can help her and that they can instruct him and discipline him if necessary. That's their role and their job and their responsibility. But then you started talking about spiritual attacks and what have you. You need your elders to help him understand he can't be sleeping elsewhere so he can figure it out. He doesn't need space to do that. He needs to think it through very quickly and he needs their instruction. So my encouragement to you, madam, is to find godly men. Hopefully that's your elders. If it's not, find godly men who will engage with him and who will talk to him and guide him and help him and let him know that he's just blowing it right now. Look, I know there's two sides to every story, but a dude who's talking like that, who's not loving his wife, who doesn't sleep at home, he's blowing it big time and he's missing the boat and he will have nothing but regret and he's not living a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. Find those men who can help you talk to him helpfully. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
For 25 years, Fortis Institute has been building something powerful, a reservoir of biblical truth deep enough to change lives and strong enough to transform churches. But we've realized something very profound. Truth was never meant to be contained. It was meant to flow freely, reaching every single person, every hungry heart, every searching mind. And that's why we're doing something unprecedented. We're breaking the dam. Truth Unhindered isn't just a campaign name. It's our vision for the future. It's about removing every barrier between solid teaching and those who need it the most. We have extraordinary plans for the second half of 2025, but to make this moment possible, we need your partnership now more than ever. Right now, through the end of June, every gift you give will be matched. Your generosity today becomes a flood of truth tomorrow. Just visit fortisinstitute.org/truth right now before June 30th and help us break the dam and let the truth flow unhindered. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Books of the Bible. 1 and 2 Kings relate the history of Israel from Solomon through the division of Israel into two kingdoms to the destruction of both kingdoms. Though Israel and Judah and their kings were often unfaithful, God continually calls his people to repentance through his prophets. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hypocrite. I think Handsome Jimmy Hicks is a hypocrite. And I've got the proof. This is Wretched Radio. Mr. Pun. Mr. Dad Joke. I tell one during the break. And what do I get from Mr. Punny? Crickets. We were talking about an edit, and I said, how much time is that? And he said
2:30.
And I said, dentist time.
And I repeat it, 2:30.
Yeah, but you didn't.
I didn't laugh.
You weren't amused. You didn't think it was funny?
Yeah, I was making notes.
2:30. 2:30. Yeah. See?
It is funny.
You read that calendar somebody sent us, and you can't stop guffawing.
You know, look.
I share a punny joke. Nothing.
Look, my wife told me I had two major flaws.
Just being kind.
I don't listen, and I forgot the other one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 877-282-2337 if you want to text whatever. Jimmy,
yes.
That last question, that was just so much.
Yeah.
And nobody is going to unravel that ball of twine for you, especially long distance. They've got to be engaged. They've got to be willing to jump in. They've got to be willing to... I don't know how vast this is, but there's a bit of a trend. So take that vagary for what it's worth. That in these situations, I found that it's my experience in some of our good churches, the attitude is basically, well, this is an opportunity for you to grow in holiness, ma'am. Got to remember sovereignty. And, you know, there's probably things you need to do for self-examination. And you know, ask yourself how culpable you are in this and just learn long-suffering and forbearance. Now, all of that stuff might be true and needed and even valuable at a point, but I've noticed that there is a reticence to jump in and say, hold on, you're dealing with what? Now, that doesn't mean the dude is guilty because you've got to hear the other side of the story. But if you just hear a lament from a woman and you don't engage, you're not going to hear the other side of the story and vice versa. So we need to be willing to jump in when a woman finds herself in a precarious position dealing with a man who it sounds like, yeah, he's at the very least trying to work through some things. They need our help. They need us to be willing to jump in and say, all right, are you okay? Are you safe? What can we do to support you? We are willing to jump into this, but we're going to need to get the two of you together. Are you prepared for that? Because this is what the church is about. And when we've got to be careful, I don't know why, and I don't know how prevalent it is, but there is, it seems, a wind of, well, women just need to deal with it. Yeah, that's not the totality of the situation. So let's be just at least be mindful of that. Whether that strikes a nerve with you or not, whether that hit any sort of mark with you in your church, be mindful of that. We can have a propensity to be one side or other, and it can be gender driven. I don't want to sound woke here, but it can be. That's kind of our natural propensity. Dudes hear a dude, and it's like, yeah, I get that. A woman says something, and it just there's less about getting it. Well, we need to get it, and we need to be involved. We need to be engaged. And this doesn't mean that the pendulum swings the other way. Everything she said is totally gospel truth, and he's the jerk, and he needs to be disciplined. No, no, no. I'm not saying that, but I am saying we got to get in there. We got to jump in. And when a woman says there's trouble at home, our response shouldn't be, well, let's just give it some time. Our response should be, how can we help? 877-282-2337. Are you going to say anything about that? Are you going to let that fly?
Well, I think the only thing that I would add to that was just part of her question, is it wrong for me to be angry with him? And I would say, no, it's not. I mean, there's a such thing as grief-born anger, righteous grief-born anger. But I would say, be angry and do not sin. Let it drive you to God, not away from grace, but I don't think it's wrong to be angry.
I would attach some strings to that.
Oh, for sure.
I know you did. You said it's got to be righteous anger,
mm-hmm.
but I think grief and hurt most certainly Emotions are so tricky. Your grief might feel like anger and vice versa. I would say that's grief. But to be angry, this is the admonition that Paul gives the Ephesians very quickly, though. Deal with it. Doesn't mean 24 hours. It doesn't, you know, before the sun goes. It means be expeditious about that. Get on it. Be forgiving. Be willing to forgive. And for my money, the best way to do that is to remember how much you've been forgiven. That you have been forgiven much. So we forgive much. And no matter how bad the treatment is that we receive, we need to remember we treated our Savior far worse. And even continue to, frankly. How much we sin against our Savior. I hate to think about it. And he's patient. And he's forbearing. And he's so kind in the midst of our confusion, our negligence, our abandoning and forsaking him, which we do anytime that we sin or make a wrong selection. And yet, what does he promise? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And we need to remember that as fully as we possibly can. Then we turn to the one who has forsaken and abandoned us. Okay, I got one more tip for this woman who's writing in on that subject alone. You might want to listen to this Sunday sermon at Alpharetta Bible Church because that happens to be what it's about. Jesus is about to be forsaken by the disciples. Wow. Wow. They all scatter. And so we're going to do a deep dive into the disciples' forsaking of Jesus, how we can forsake Jesus, focusing on the promise he'll never forsake us, and then study how he was forsaken by the Father so that you and I could be adopted and justified by Jesus. Dwell on those things, and then you can turn your attention to your husband who's not living up to expectations and missing the mark. And you can have more patience, and you can have more forgiveness and less anger, and ultimately more concern, compassion, and even pity. Because if this fellow is living in a way that reveals he only has an intellectual understanding of Christianity and he's not a Christian, then his fate is awful. And vengeance is the Lord's, and he will execute it. And it will be a terrible day for your husband. And that should move you then ultimately to be able to forgive, not be angry, and to have compassion. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Cody, who wrote in, Todd, in a recent segment on the Holy Spirit, you stated that the definite article was critical and should not be removed. Can you elaborate why?
Did I say it that way?
Yeah.
Did I? Okay.
All right. She says, we don't say the God or the Jesus. So it's just confusing to me.
Yeah. Well, I think what I was protesting against is the way that the non-definite article use of the third person of the Trinity is being used and why they're dropping the definite article. Come Holy Spirit, come. It doesn't say come the Holy Spirit. It's come Holy Spirit because it's an address. So you can drop the. You don't want because that indicates there's other Holy Spirits. But yeah, you could in your prayers call him Holy Spirit. The reason that it tends to grate against me in our contemporary context is because of this big movement, the NAR, that's put so much focus on the Holy Spirit. And it's to the neglect of a focus on Jesus and the Father. It's just all very Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Now there, I just did it without the definite article. So they use it like, you know, so I'm talking to Holy Spirit and it reveals that they're out of whack with their balance and their focus. We need to remember who sets the tone on our focus, and that is God himself. The Holy Spirit is equal in every single regard to the Father and the Son. But his role is to take a spotlight and not turn it on himself, but to turn it on the Son, that God might be all in all. That's his role. So yeah, we can pray to him. We can. And we probably should be thinking more about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But this kind of casual, like, you know, Holy Spirit, me and Holy Spirit, we're just, just hanging. Holy Spirit, and it just reveals kind of a casual confusion over the role of the Holy Spirit. So, if I made it sound like you can never drop the definite article, Jimmy was wrong to do that. but it's the issue that I really had was just, and it's really heartbreaking because there are so many people who are falling under the sway. The fastest growing movement in Christendom is New Apostolic Reformation movement. And it's deficient in virtually every regard. It plays though so beautifully into the autonomous self, the individualized self. It's such an inward focused thing, and it is just so theologically bankrupt. That's what bugs me about the dropping of the definite article. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortas Newsbreaker production of Fortas Institutes. While the Tony Awards reached a new cultural low earlier this week, Cole Escola became the first non-binary person to win Best Actor for his portrayal of Mary Todd Lincoln in a play he wrote himself. The one silver lining in all of it, however, is that he beat out George Clooney in that category, meaning Hollywood's favorite virtue signaler had to watch a man in a dress claim his trophy. Olympic gymnast Simone Biles, you've been keeping up, I trust, in the spat between herself and Riley Gaines. Well, after much backlash, Biles issued a rare public apology earlier this week after she initially attacked the former swimmer on social media over transgender athletes in women's sports. And as you might expect, Gaines, being the class act that she is, graciously accepted the apology. Now, the theological left continued its assault on Scripture this week as Sojourners published an article asking, "Is God calling you to queerness?" The piece, which was written by a self-described agnostic by the name of Brandon Robertson, claims to be an authentic Christian is to be a queer. Listen to me, God's not calling anyone to queerness. He's calling us to holiness. Nearly 150 House Democrats this week voted against a bill banning non-citizens from voting in Washington, D.C. elections. The GOP-led measure passed anyway, 266 to 148, overturning the radical D.C. Council's 2022 decision, allowing foreign nationals and illegals to participate in local elections. The Democratic immigration agenda became even more explicit when Congresswoman Maxine Waters visited riot-torn Los Angeles and declared that we should give citizenship to the very illegal aliens destroying the city. This week brought federal consequences for Democratic lawmakers who think they're above the law. Representative LaMonica McIver of New Jersey was indicted on 3 federal counts for forcibly interfering with ICE agents during a confrontation at Newark Detention Facility. Body cam footage shows McIver physically attacking federal officers as they attempted to arrest Newark's mayor, though she claims she was simply just doing her job. Yeah, I guess Democrats now consider obstructing federal law enforcement part of their congressional duties. And while Democrats obstruct immigration enforcement, other federal agents delivered heroic results. The FBI announced Operation Soteria Shield rescued over 100 children and arrested 244 child abusers in a coordinated enforcement operation across Texas. The operation involved more than 70 agencies and resulted in 368 total charges, 165 search warrants, and the seizure of 1,130 digital devices. That wraps up today's Fortas News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortas Plus or sign up to become a Fortas Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortasInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortas News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. John, the beloved disciple, author of the Gospel of John and Revelation, also wrote 3 epistles. In this first epistle of John, the apostle has one main concern, that we may know if we have eternal life and if our faith is genuine faith. If you want to know that you have eternal life, turn to 1 John and see what he has written for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The way a hymn is supposed to be sung. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, do you know what hymn this is?
No.
It's not the same melody, but it's Come Holy Spirit Come. No definite article, Come Holy Spirit Come. Would you like to know the lyrics to the version that I'm familiar with?
Sure.
Do you want me to keep the music this loud the entire time?
Probably not.
I'll hear myself. This is Wretched Radio. Come Holy Spirit Come. Let thy bright beams arise. Dispel the darkness from our minds and open all our eyes. And and Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. I just broke out into spontaneous worship. I went looking for Come Holy Spirit Come because it's a classic hymn. This particular one, the one that I'm familiar with, written in 1784. Some people, not many, but some people have been singing this hymn now for 240 years? 241, if I'm not mistaken. And then the music was 1872. In other words, people before us believed in the third person of the Trinity. So when I went looking for it on the YouTube machine, this is the version that I found, although it's not the version that I think is the one that I'm quoting. And there were all of these Come Holy Spirit spontaneous worship sessions where it's just, we're just kind of riffing and flowing and somebody repeats the same phrase over and over again. This particular Come Holy Spirit Come, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 verses, because people used to write poetry and think about these things long and hard and take the time to present theologically rich understanding of our God so that we worship him rightly. Cheer our desponding hearts, thou heavenly paraclete. Give us to lie with humble hope at our Redeemer's feet. Revive our drooping faith, our doubts and fears remove, and kindle in our breasts the flames of never-dying love. Well, now there's a phrase that's also been hijacked by the NAR. Anything that has to do with any sort of incendiary device or fire, we can't use that anymore because, well, the NAR kind of sets everything on fire. Have you noticed? There's a whole lot of fire in the NAR. Convince us of our sin. That's the role of the paraclete, to convince us and convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Then lead to Jesus' blood and to our wondering view reveal the secret love of God. And when it's set to God's ordained instrument of choice, it's a beautiful thing. 877-282-2337. Yes, I do expect you to talk.
I didn't want to step on the music.
I do it all the time.
I know. Don't worry about it. I'm a pro.
You're the radio professional, right? Exactly. Please send stuff to 877-282-2337. If I could do a shout out, not for pipe organs in churches, but for our Truth and Hindered campaign. Hey, we're getting really close, although we could use some help getting to the finish line. It's a match campaign. It's big. It's a sizable one for this time of year. Dollar for dollar match so that we can close our store. And start giving everything, all of our big resources. We give easily 90% of our stuff away already at the Fortis app, FortisPlus.org. But now we want to give away all the Bible studies, all the resources. So we are trusting you to help us do just that. It's the Truth Unhindered campaign. We're going to start getting into all of these churches that can't afford stuff. They can even be churches that don't use pipe organs. That's right. We're willing to go even there, so that people can have sound biblical resources. If you'd be kind enough to consider helping us with this match gift campaign called Truth Unhindered, you can do so at FortisInstitute.org/truth. You're on, Jimmy.
Okay. All right. This is a question from David. Todd, my wife and I got married 2 months ago at the ages of 22 and 24, respectively.
Way to go.
How do I encourage her to spend good time in the Word and in prayer because she works shift patterns, yeah, a mix of days and nights for 13 hours each shift?
Yeah. Be thoughtful. Be smart. Study her. And then lead it with enthusiasm. Hey, she gets up from the nap. Whatever the dynamic is in your house, whatever the ebb and flow is, sort it out. And then when it's a right time, make it organic even. If the schedules are currently in a flux, and it's really difficult to get into that settled pattern. I get that. But don't take your eye off the prize. Keep your eye on the ball and keep pushing it. So when she's rested and you're just sitting there making, hey, let me share this. I was just reading this. And then just introduce it. And you be the persistent one. So I can't give you a do this at 8 o'clock and then do this at 3 p.m. And I don't think that's really what Christianity is all about anywhere. We're not a formulaic religion. We're a heart religion. So if the schedules are of a dynamic, I can't provide that for you. But I would encourage you, you're already thinking this through. You realize your responsibility and your role to be the spiritual leader. You got to persist. You just got to keep doing it. And when she, like, if you try something like that, you're sitting around sipping coffee and she's like, you know, honey, when we have our coffee, can we just talk about the stuff that we've got to deal with today? Okay. And then figure out another way and find another time and just keep going. Now, if you get to the point where you've kind of exhausted everything, then I might suggest you could start talking to her in a time when it's conducive. Hey, honey, you know how I've been trying to, you know, read the Bible together and such, and it doesn't seem that you want to be doing that. How come? Do I have that right? I mean, I don't want to accuse you of anything. Do I have that right? So what do you think that we should be doing so that we can be spending time in the Word together? And then let her speak and get it sorted. My encouragement to you is to not give up. Keep trying to figure it out. And I will tell you this, that is being more manly than going into the woods and shooting anything that moves and dragging it out. I'm telling you, this is the stuff of Christian masculinity, because this stuff is hard. You're tired too. And you feel like she should just jump on board and that should be the end of it. And it's always smooth sailing. Well, it's not. And not forgetting to make this a thing, that's hard. So persist, dude. You're young. You're already on track. Well done. Keep it up. 877-282-2337.
All right, this next question's a doozy. It's a text from Ashley.
I'm really, you know what, Jimmy? Mm-hmm. Can I just publicly thank you?
Oh, you're welcome.
For bringing the doozies with 2 and 3 minutes left?
I do that on purpose.
So that I'll just shut up.
That's right.
Yeah, get to it and make it snappy.
All right. This is from Ashley. Todd, I love the MacArthur Study Bible, but
I knew that was coming. That just your intonation.
I happen to disagree with a few of the study notes. Does that make me a heretic?
Yes. It depends on the issue, of course. You're gonna disagree with stuff in there. But I'll tell you, for my money, there is just no better study Bible that's out there that will teach you more, that will equip you better, that will help you to understand the scriptures, that will bring illumination. I encourage you, if you've never gone through this exercise, get a MacArthur Study Bible, whatever translation you prefer, NASB, ESV, whatever, as long as it's more of the formal equivalent instead of a functional liberal message. Can you imagine the MacArthur? You know what would be like one of the meanest things that you could do to somebody who worked at Tyndale or Zondervan? Put the MacArthur study notes into the Message Bible. They would just ultimately jump off of a bridge. I don't see these words anyplace. What word is he talking about? Because that's not what MacArthur used. Is that word even in the Bible? They would just go absolutely ballistic. So get yourself a more conservative, formal equivalent translation, and then commit to reading the entire New Testament, any order you choose, one book at a time, but read every single footnote as you go. And when you're done, you'll know more than most pastors. Ha! 877-282-2337. Just returning the favor, buddy boy.
Okay, this is from Latimer. That's his name, Latimer. It's a text. Todd, do you...
Latimer?
Latimer, yeah.
Like as in Ridley and Latimer.
Latimer. However you want to say it.
Well, in Latimer, he was an Anglican bishop. He was set on fire, courtesy of Queen Mary. And he's the one who said, play the man, Ridley. This day will light such a torch as will never be put out. And he was right as they went up in flames together.
I read that somewhere recently.
Did you read Play the Man?
I think I did.
Oh, you probably did, didn't you? Yeah. You know what? Okay, here's more whining. Get ready. Here it comes. I'm gonna whine anyway. I have to read that book.
You've already.
I know I wrote it, but reading is hard for me. Okay, it's hard because I can't concentrate that long and stay that focused on making sure that it just sounds like I'm reading and not riffing. So my burdens, if you'd help me shoulder them and send stuff to 877-282-2337, and we'll get to Mr. Latimer next on Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hold on for a moment, Mr. Latimer. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I shared that there were 8 verses of Come Holy Spirit Come, using words like paraclete, talking about turning our eyes to Jesus, convicting us of our sin. 8 stanzas. So then, I don't know why I pushed the button in my Googler machine, and I've got the new version of Come Holy Spirit Come, and I'm not kidding. So maybe to help us fully appreciate that, let me just repeat one more time some of the lyrics from the old hymn, from the, what did I say, 1787 hymn? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was that what it was, 1787? All right, so here's a sample. These are the ones that we didn't read. 'Tis thine to cleanse the heart, to sanctify the soul, to pour fresh life in every part, and new create the whole. If thou, celestial dove, thine influence withdraw, what easy victims soon we fall to conscience, wrath, and law. No longer burns our love, our faith and patience fail, and sin revives and death and hell our feeble souls assail. Dwell therefore in our hearts, our minds from bondage free. Then we shall know and praise and love the Father, the Son, and thee. That was written 240 years ago. Here's the modern version. It's a different tune. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And abide within us, rest upon us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We thank you for your presence, for your power, your glory. We need your presence. We need you. Holy Spirit, fill this place. We need your presence. We need you. We need you. Yes, Holy Spirit, fill this room. Charles Spurgeon spoke of a downgrade controversy. I think we've just experienced another one. 877-282-2337 is the text number if your name ends with Latimer.
And this is from Latimer. Todd, do you think there are copies of Scripture in heaven?
Copies of Scripture in heaven? Hmm. Well, I don't know how many physical things are currently in heaven besides Jesus, but on the new heaven and the new earth, his word endures forever. I know that our faith will become sight. But his word, because it also says it will endure forever, I think we're going to have Bibles. And we're going to have more revelation. We're going to have a greater understanding of God than we've ever even imagined. But because this book is so cherished, we love it so much, why would God take it away? We'll study it better than we ever did. And get ready. Wow, this could get me in big trouble. You won't need the MacArthur Study Bible.
Oh, so Ashley's not a heretic.
So I think so. Can I say definitively? Yes, I'm a talk show host. Okay, Jimmy, you said that there's another study Bible besides the MacArthur Study Bible that gives it a run for its money.
Oh, well, that I enjoy. Yeah, it's the ESV Study Bible.
So you don't use the MacArthur Study
Bible? No, I use them both.
Ashley's got lots of company today. But you like it?
The ESV, yeah, it's got 20, 30,000 study notes in it. It's really, really thorough.
Do you ever use the NET Bible?
I don't.
It's fascinating. Got to be careful because you don't know who the contributors are. So it's a little like Wikipedia, but it's a Bible that it has two types of notes. One, I think it's TN and SN. Study note and textual note. One deals with grammar. The other deals with maybe is the context of the verse and interpretation and those types of issues. And it's got just tons and tons of notes. And it's a lot of work, but I always find that there's something that was absolutely worth the effort because it's a lot of people that provide insight. So just like thousands of contributors to it, Greek scholars, yes, pastors, theologians, and they put those study notes then in. And again, you want to use it with some discernment, then you might want to eat the meat and spit out the bones. But I actually find it to be very helpful. It's one of the things that I will do, one of the last things that I will do before I put a sermon to bed. I want to read through those notes and just see if it's like, oh, wait, oh, wow, miss that nugget. The NET Study Bible. If you hate John MacArthur. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Bill. Todd, I am in the military and in a position of authority. I have the ability to fire and move people and have done it a lot in the past. Now I am saved and being sanctified, and I struggle with how to represent Christ, mm-hmm. yet still remove inefficient workers from my team.
Well, you're not doing anything wrong by doing that. Then that's actually a godly thing to do. If somebody isn't performing and delivering on their responsibilities, it is right to move them or to even fire them if necessary. That's not a sinful thing. It's how you do it. That's what can make it a sin. Terminating somebody's employment or their military career, that's not necessarily sinful. That's doing what you're charged to do. Do it lovingly. Do it. Here's a word that will guide you. This helps me regularly. especially when maybe I'm a little bit, I don't know, agitated by something maybe that somebody's done and my heart isn't quite ready. I think of the word discipleship. Disciple them. You're not trying to be punitive. You're not trying to somehow make them feel bad. You want to grow them. So you want to help them. And even if that means, I'm sorry, we're going to have to end our relationship. That if it's done in the spirit of I'm trying to help and grow and encourage and undergird and disciple, then I don't think you're sinning at all. So use the word discipleship perhaps to guide you. But I will say this, I don't know how I would handle this because, and I could be wrong about this, if you're a military guy, send a note to 877-282-2337. A part of the military is breaking somebody down to build them back up. And it's that, it's not a stereotype. You know, it's that barking, it's that yelling, it's the demeaning of the new recruits. I personally, now maybe you got a way to sort that and figure that out. And I know that that's the job to do that for a goal of then breaking them down and building them up. And maybe it's not even like genuine, but I don't know how a Christian soldier could talk like that to another soldier. I can't put that one together. Firing, demoting, that I can handle. Barking at them and saying nasty things to them. 877-282-2337.
You know, I have been discipled by you more than anywhere in my life. Is that why we meet so much? Because I mess up so much?
I didn't want to just put it out there like that. But
all right, this is from a
Anonymous. What are you doing after the show, by the way?
We need to have a meeting. This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, can one preach truth and still not give glory to God?
Sure. You bet. Fleshly preaching, prayerless preaching, a lack of understanding the responsibility and the role and what the goal of it is. And I don't think a sermon is even as well crafted as it might be. Even if the sermon, I think, is, I'm going to use a word in a moment here that's going to make you go, wait, what? But even if a sermon that is beautifully written to glorify God, if it is not delivered from a heart of a man who is a servant who desires to show people Jesus, it will not be as God glorifying. Why? Because preaching involves unction. It involves surrendering yourself to be completely controlled by the Holy Spirit of God to bring a word to God's people for God's sake, not for one's own aggrandizement or receiving kudos and accolades when the sermon is done, or just because the guy's been lazy. And so it's super important for pastors, and what that looks like for each pastor is different, but preparing your heart for the message is really important. And having said that, I also want to remember too, preparing for getting your heart ready for the sermon, that shouldn't start on Saturday night or Sunday morning. It really is just more of a focus on the particular task, but your entire life is dedicated to glorifying God. My entire existence is about glorifying Jesus Christ. And now that is true, by the way, whether you're a pastor, preacher, or not. And the more you are thinking and disciplining yourself to think that way, the less time will be required in preparing your heart. Why? Because your heart is prepared. Because that's just your heart. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, do angels
hurry up
have free will?
Hurry up.
Do angels have free will?
Do they have free will?
Yeah.
Kind of reticent to answer that because that's asking a human question about an angelic being, and we're not exactly the same. But having said that, let's give it a go because I don't think we have a verse that indicates they've got free will or they used to and they don't now, but they must have because a third of the angels chose to follow Satan and disobey. So they must have had something of a will. Now, the two-thirds that remain, we have no indication of the Bible because we know the rest of the story courtesy of Revelation. They're not going to rebel against God. So do they have a will, a free will, if you will? The answer is don't know. I think a more important question is, what about us? Will we be able to choose to follow Satan in heaven? And the answer is absolutely not. Don't you panic about that. I know some people do. Could I be the first person who sins in heaven and disobeys and gets booted? And the answer is no. No, you can't. No, you won't. And best of all, no, you won't want to. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.